Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly could. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Former President Trump's growing legal troubles did not seem to make a dent on his popularity at last night's Lincoln Day dinner in Des Moines. Here's CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Trump still leads by huge margins among Republicans. And that sustained popularity is why most opponents don't criticize his alleged misconduct. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who's running second to Trump, won't do it.
I think voters have to make those decisions. Not at the end of the day. The election's got to be about the future.
And the candidate in third place in Iowa, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, also avoids Trump attacks.
What we all should be very concerned about is the weaponization of the Department of Justice. We should be very careful on how we use immense power against political opponents.
Phoenix is going to have another day above 110 degrees, making July the hottest month on record. Brian Hurley is with the National Weather Service.
Their average temperature, you know, when you take into account the high and the low, their average temperature is 102.9.
It's even hotter in many of the lower-income neighborhoods. Jeremy Hoffman heads Climate Justice and Impact at Groundwork USA.
Communities of color tend to have higher rates of heat-related illnesses, and we have observed directly that these neighborhoods tend to be warmer by several degrees on average during these heat waves.
He cites more infrastructure, fewer trees. No one won the Mega Millions lottery, so it's now the Mega Billion. The odds of winning are not great, but people still buy tickets. Why? Psychology professor Kay Lamar is at Pasadena City College.
So when something is like one out of a million versus one out of a billion, those probabilities are very, very different. But to us, it feels the same, right? And so someone might get lotto fever because it looks like they could win this huge amount of money, even though the odds are very small, because it's very hard for us to understand what those odds are.
The next drawing is Tuesday. Five people have been shot in a parking lot in South Seattle. KIRO-TV's Bridget Chavez has the details.
This was all happening during a community event. We learned from some community leaders they were giving out food, trying to improve things in this neighborhood by giving people a safe place to go on a Friday night. They say that this is an event that's held every Friday, and they are just shocked that something like this could happen here.
Police are looking for two shooters. Russian missiles fell last night in the Ukrainian city of Dnipro and injured nine people. The BBC's James Waterhouse reports.
The images of last night of another missile strike in the heart of the city show Moscow's attitude to the tactics it's deploying, in that it sees civilian casualties or areas as acceptable collateral damage in its continued invasion, or it is a deliberate targeting of a civilian area.
This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Don't miss the final days of end-of-season deals during the truckload event at Lowe's. Right now, save on major appliances and get an additional 10% off in-store clearance appliances. Plus, you can get up to 35% off select tools and accessories. Find big savings during the final days of the truckload event happening now. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 8-2. Exclusions apply while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
The extracurricular activities, the traffic, the nightly homework, the traffic, the finding time to eat dinner together as a family, the traffic. Back to school can be stressful. Thanks to Ziploc, meal prep doesn't have to be. New Ziploc bags with Stay Open design have a patented stand-up bottom that helps keep the bag upright and a top crease that folds and holds for easy filling, unlocking a second set of hands in the kitchen. If only it unlocked a second set of lanes. New Ziploc brand freezer and storage bags with Stay Open design from SC Johnson, a family company.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 82. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 54. Tonight, mainly clear skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm again. Tomorrow, chance for scattered showers. Highs level off around 78. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 76.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. And we are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Hey, folks. Welcome back to another episode of the Cripescast. This week, my guest is comedian Rory Scovel. He is so funny, so good. He's coming into Milwaukee and a bunch of dates around the Midwest coming into Milwaukee soon. Check it out. Ticket links and all that. Colleen Maraca, what EP of the Cripescast. Colleen, what day is Rory coming to Milwaukee?
Rory's coming to Milwaukee. He's coming to the Turner Hall Ballroom July 21st. Tickets are at roryscovel.com. He's also got some Minneapolis dates around then, Chicago. So, yeah, if you're not specifically in the Milwaukee area, like, it's the perfect time. It's right in the summer. That's when you ought to be in the Midwest. So he's going to be, long story short, he's going to be in the Midwest.
Yeah.
He's coming here the 21st.
He's so funny too. I mean, if any of you are looking, you know, he's actually talking, we talked in this podcast, he's working, he's tightening up his next hour. So it's going to be a real treat to go see him. So, anyway, we'll chit chat with him in a minute.
You guys also went down like a Catholic church rabbit hole of all.
Yeah. And let me say this off the top, because I grew up Catholic, he grew up Catholic, and there's a lot of great things about, you know, the Catholic faith and all this and that. And, you know, a lot of people get a lot of good out of it. And I think you certainly can. But I think you also have to acknowledge that the Catholic Church has had some problems, historically speaking, you know, Crusades being one of them. Also the whole pedophilia aspect. So, you know, you can't just look at the positive aspects of something. And, you know, that church, like any other church, is inherently flawed because you got people involved and people are inherently flawed. So to not acknowledge that is a little disingenuous, but that was a disclaimer. With all that said, you know, I think we went, it was really cool talking to him, just because he is sort of a comedian's comedian, you know. Conan really, I think, gave him an awesome platform, really sending him on his career. And he does so many creative, cool things, an entire, you know, stand-up special, just crowd work. His crowd work and improv is so good. His, you know, straight stand-up is amazing. So, I really like talking to him. And also, you know, we have a lot of similarities. You know, we had the news business. We both come from big families, Catholic families. And it was kind of cool talking about that. What did you like about it, Colleen? Tell me what you liked about my podcast, Colleen. Not fishing for compliments at all, but
this is the affirmation. This is the affirmation hour. This is the only time I'm nice to Charlie is when we're on air.
And you're not even, can I just say, you're not even that, you don't even pretend to be that nice to me on air.
I just want to like make a disclaimer that I am normally a nice person, but I think Charlie just brings the worst out of me.
Oh, that's nice of you to say live on air.
I'm kidding.
That's really nice. Anyways, folks, I do want to let you know, if you're looking for an interesting environmental way to clothe yourself, we've got a bunch of merchandise on mandoaugment.com, made in the USA, which means lower carbon footprint, also supports American workers. You can check it out, cripescast.com, click on the merch section, and you can also find us, patreon.com/CharlieBehrens. Two great ways to support the pod. And with that, should we get right into it?
Also, one other thing.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about tour. We have more tour dates coming up. So just like when people email in or whatever, or message in being like, when are tour dates coming up? We update the Cripescast website and charliebehrens.com pretty much instantaneously as we know tour dates. So if you're like, also send us places that we should send Charlie for tour dates, but be checking our tour pages pretty regularly. That's when we will let folks know that you're going specific places.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And we also do a first look at tour dates, the initial push on the Patreon. So if you want like those initial blip on tickets, check that out too. All right. Well, that's enough promo-y stuff. Should we dive in, Callie?
Please.
All right. Let's talk to Rory Scovel.
Hey, folks. Welcome to another episode of the Cripes Cast. I am here with my
best friend.
Colleague Andrew Rafi, ladies and gentlemen.
I hope you're pronouncing that right.
What?
Nothing.
Your last name?
Yeah.
Did I not pronounce
it? No, you did.
Did I not pronounce your name
no,
right?
No, you did.
You know what's funny is I had Laura Clary on my podcast and I mispronounced her name.
What'd you say?
Cleary.
It's Clary?
It's Clary. That's a tough one though, because I just always pronounce your name wrong. I guess it was terrible. Terrible of me. Anyways, this isn't about that.
I'll tell you something about Laura Clary. Clary?
Clary.
At 4th of July, my cousin came up to me and said, I really like that video Charlie did with that girl who was an Uber driver. And I think that you did. So that had nothing to do with me.
So. No, in all honesty, ladies and gentlemen, I want to give Andrew Rafi a very good intro. Andrew Rafi and I have known each other since the beginning of sort of the Manitowoc Mint days. We've been collaborators. You've probably seen some of our movies, including If Airlines Were People, Midwest Coming Out. We did First Time Camper.
Dating.
If Dated, yep.
Ghosted Hunters.
We did a lot of videos. Woo woo.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyways, and you've been
Midwest
on the road.
Spelling Bee.
Yep. Well, you, I think, wrote that one.
You don't have to tell people that,
you
Charlie.
You literally just did.
I said we collaborated.
Okay. What do they think? Okay. I saw that. I punched it up. And you've come on the road with me. You've been on the road with me
six years.
6 years ago now. Mm-hmm. You lied to me and said you were a producer and I believed you. So I let you produce my first set of shows.
That's not what happened.
And then you came on the road with me doing that. You kept like kind of wanting to get on stage.
Yes.
You know, and you would do it to like kind of warm up the crowd and say, are you ready? You know, rah, rah, kind of a thing. And you came off, I remember the stage in Manitowoc after doing that. And you're like, that was exhilarating.
Yeah.
And you always had really good jokes. You're always a great writer. I mean, I think even early on, you initially reached out to get me to like hawk some of your t-shirts or something.
That's correct. I had a t-shirt company that thankfully someone bought out because it's better to be lucky than good. I ran that thing into the ground. Boy, oh boy. Don't do drugs, kids. I wanted you to wear this one t-shirt and
I said I would and I
you,
never
and you
did.
You never did.
I never did because
I had just come off of a movie as a writer. I don't think I ever said I was a producer. I don't do those kind of films, Charlie, but
erotic.
Exactly.
And I eventually said you should try stand up yourself. You resisted it for probably a couple years.
For like a year. Yeah. But
then you eventually got on stage and it's been great. It's been how has it been? Because there are actually a lot of stand-up comedians that listen to this show. At least I get messages from them and they always tend to like, you know, when I ask comedians sort of the ropes, you know, and since you started recently, relatively recently.
5 years. Yeah.
I guess it's not really
not
recent anymore.
The pandemic, yeah.
But, you know, comedy is weird. It takes a long, long time. I mean, I'm fairly new to stand-up comedy, really, in the
very
long
new
scheme of things. Okay. 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 What? Nobody laughs at your jokes harder than you.
Well, only
you
when. Know what? Yeah, that's true. I was a very lonely child.
I love the way you laugh at your jokes, Andrew. I'm just kidding.
It's mean-spirited. I know. I'm sorry.
What's mean-spirited?
That, well, I only kind of when they're mean jokes.
That was the joke that you were laughing at.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. I've got some mean-spirited jokes.
I
want to
hear them. Believe me. I wish you had more of them.
Andrew and I have a very interesting relationship, which maybe you'll get a sense of in this podcast. I'm kind of all over the place, but point one is I do want to talk about like what it takes to get into stand-up comedy, because, you know, you've been close to that. And then also, like, you know, just shoot the breeze.
Well, I first off have suggested, my friends, JT and Chad, who are a comedy duo, they have gone to couples therapy, and I have suggested we do that, which you have been resistant to.
Yeah, I'm resistant to that. Why would I like our dysfunctional relationship?
I like it too, but it scares other people.
Here's how Andrew and I work. Typically, he goes, I came up with a great idea. I'm like, awesome. And then he sends me the idea, and I'm like, eh, it's okay. And then you get really mad at me over the phone. And I tell you what I don't like about it. And then usually I'm driving. Usually I pick up your phone calls when I'm driving because I know you're going to keep me on there for a while.
That's right.
And so I want to give you that time, but I don't want to spend all that time not doing something else. If that makes
sense.
I'll
write a script. You know what? You often have very good notes. You do.
I'm glad this is on the record.
No, I've always said that you have very good notes. Like, for example, Colleen has good notes, too.
No, I'm not saying it because of that. Keep going.
Okay.
Colleen does not have good notes. Is the camera recording? Yeah. Just out of curiosity. Okay. Is camera recording?
Okay.
I'm asking that honestly, but mostly because I can't believe he's saying this on camera, but also.
Yeah, the recording. Red light on it means it's off.
I can't see the light from here, Andrew. Do you see? I mean, folks, do you see the kind of...
I can't see the light, period, because I just hit my head on the ceiling. And I may have a concussion.
You and Joe Thomas also did it.
Really?
Yeah.
We probably don't have anything more in common than that, but I appreciate that's the one thing we have.
I bet he hit his head significantly farther up than
He's
where you
He's a lot tougher of
head.
A guy than me, Charlie.
Taller, too.
I'm sure. No, you gave great notes of airlines where people was an okay video. You gave a bunch of notes. And it's like on social media, like 25 million views. It's one of the bigger ones. The biggest one we've done.
Is it?
Yeah. So, all right. So you asked me how I got into stand up. Well, I mean, I had been writing jokes or in comedy in some way or another for a lot of my life.
You can look at me, by the way, during this podcast. You don't have to look at that camera because
I'm cheating out.
Nobody cares. The camera is for like Spotify and YouTube, and nobody, even when people are watching it, they're not, I don't think they want you to look at them the whole time. I want to have a personal connection with you during this.
That's a first.
Okay, again, you talked right to the
camera.
I know,
I did that as a joke.
So for your jokes,
your
punchlines?
Yeah, it was a callback to the camera.
You'll cheat to the camera?
Yeah, God, people must think I'm annoying.
You're a Bears fan.
I am, absolutely. Why am I a Bears fan? Because I suffer, because I'm sick. Because I have a lot of emotional problems and because I like the losers.
I like going to a Bears. We went to a Bears game
last
year.
I actually don't like going to Bears games with you. I did that once and it was a 3-hour meet and greet.
Yeah.
And it was freezing cold and they lost when they were winning all game. And they lost. It was that end around play.
Oh, I was so. Yeah. Wow. I'm just remembering that, soaking it in. I was hungover that morning, very hungover from what I recall. And the cold really got me back to baseline. And also the whiskey in the hot chocolate. Yeah,
I don't want people to think that you have a drinking problem. Like,
oh my
from
God.
From my experience, you only get drunk on days that end in Y.
Ooh. Yeah, you know what? I gave you a pity laugh on that one.
All right.
Andrew, first of all, why do all your jokes have to be at my expense?
I'm very jealous of what you have. I'm sucking in so hard right now. If I have
let
trouble
it go.
Breathing. No,
just let it go.
Are you kidding me? No.
Again,
I've worked so hard to be less fat.
Andrew, you look great.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I've got longer t-shirts. I've been shamed. I used to wear very... I'd say overly tight or short shirts that were kind of short. And I went and bought longer t-shirts.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Well, it looks good on you. I like maroon. You got the V-neck. Are V-necks coming back?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah.
You guys are matching.
We are matching. I'm wearing my Team Pop shirt, which you can get on mandwalkman.com, made in the USA. We have Team Soda and Team Pop, so whichever one you say, you can buy. You like that? Yeah. Are you? He says soda.
I'm both.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about you. Got more respect.
Smart. Does some of this get edited?
Oh, yeah. This is all edited.
Yeah. They'll edit it out if it sounds bad.
I feel like this is going terrible for me.
What?
Okay, it's going okay.
It's fine. Right. We're just having a conversation. Right. We are going to shoot the breeze.
This is not my first time on the Cripes Cast, although to get me on.
Here we go.
I know. I am appreciative that you asked me on, but I do know that your eighth cousin's gardener's friend canceled. And Billy Deuce couldn't come on for the fourth time. So you asked me, and that was so nice of you.
I did ask you. Yeah. You know what? I've asked you many times.
No, it's been an invitation. It's been like, we should get you on sometime.
Oh, no. You said you wanted to wait till you had something to promote.
I have nothing to promote.
I know, but yeah. I needed a guest. So
thank you.
All right. Called you up.
So, yes, I am a diehard Bears fan. I have been my whole life. My family's had season tickets 40, 50 years, probably.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. My grandfather used to take us to the games, and he wouldn't let us get food at the stadium because he thought it was too expensive. So we had to sneak tuna fish sandwiches into our pockets and thermoses of hot chocolate and all these different things. So I became a food smuggler at a very young age.
That's good.
Yeah.
I can see that that in a lot of the choices that you make.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when we're on the road.
Are you bringing up the Wendy's incident?
No.
I had just been pulled over for speeding. We had come from Peoria. I had to get you to O'Hare because you were going to London in 4 hours. Yeah. I hadn't eaten dinner.
Yeah.
I had just gotten a speeding ticket. And yeah, I did eat that Dave's Double in about 4.5 seconds.
It was impressive. I was not bringing that up I was bringing up the water bottle incident, but the Dave's Double, yeah.
What's the water bottle incident?
You got that food, and I just heard, oh, and I looked over and was gone.
There was 30 years of pain in that bite.
Yeah. That could be an advertisement for Seriously, Wendy's.
I would love to be, yeah. What was the water bottle incident?
Oh, when you were on the podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
So Andrew was on the podcast. We were at a bowling alley in New Hampshire. You can go back and listen to it. It's in the archives. And basically, we didn't have any guests. And we were snowed in New Hampshire somewhere. And me, Colleen, Bill Doucette, Andy Raffi, we went bowling.
Yep.
And was Dante there?
No.
No. Okay. I have a hard time remembering.
Sometimes. You got it. All right.
Who was at the show?
In the
sometimes.
Right city, bowling, yeah.
So what happened with the water bottle incident? Okay, I'll tell
you. Everyone was drinking but me. I don't drink or do drugs anymore. No
follow-up questions.
No follow-up. Yeah, believe me. It's an anonymous reason. court-ordered. No. Everyone was drinking, and I was drinking like water, and I wanted to get a couple bottles of water, and Mr. One of 12 kids, you can drink the lake water, it's good for you, didn't like that I'd ordered some bottled water, so he was passive aggressively mentioning that he didn't think it was right that he had to pay $3 for a bottle of water.
First of all, I was kidding.
Nah, it's passive aggressive.
I was kidding to an extent, but there was also water on the table.
The tap water looked weird to me.
In fact, that still pisses me off. Uh-huh. And I'm glad that you paid for that water.
And I Venmo'd you like $10 or $12.
What do you think was going on with the tap water? We were in New
Hampshire. Just wanted a bottle. I was also sick. I wasn't
asking you to drink out of the vase of water.
I understand that, but I just wanted a bottle of water. Yeah, so, and I had come down. I got like three colds back to back to back. I drank the bottles of water, and I sent you the money, and it's the hill I'm willing to die on.
Well, I do appreciate that. I need that
money.
What'd
you do with that money?
No idea. Honestly, I forgot you sent it to me.
Yeah.
Episode 90 on YouTube. The whole video is on there.
Episode 90 on YouTube. You can check it out. Thank you, Colleen. Andrew, you've been on the road with me the longest.
6 years,
The longest anybody has been on the road with me. What's your best memory? What's your worst memory?
And you promise to put this on no matter what I say?
No, absolutely not.
No, I'm teasing. My best memory... Huh, man.
Going home at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I always go home early. My favorite memory, you know, there's probably a better one, but the one I like is coming like right off the top of my head is probably those first few shows when we were in the 14 seater van and we had like hours to kill in between like shows. And
that was my parents' old van that they used to haul the kids around in.
Yeah. And I just think like just joke, like making jokes, talking about life, like talking about comedy, like because I was totally down and out when you found me. This is like this has been a charity project for sure.
Yeah. And it has. I'm looking to see if I can get a tax write-off.
I really hope you can.
Yep.
And it was in those
cars. Also, I had no idea. I had no idea that you were down and out.
No, you didn't.
I thought you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
It wasn't until years later I found out that just how much on the ropes you were.
Absolutely.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I just, like.
I have a great judgment of people.
You are. I'm looking at the camera again. So. I think it was in those car rides that you were like, you want to be a stand-up, don't you? And I was like, yeah. And you're like, you need to go get 5 minutes and I'll give you like a couple shows or whatever. You gotta go get 5 minutes.
Yep.
Because I would just like pitch you jokes all the time, or I talk in punchlines, and I know it probably is annoying for people. I really don't know of another way to be, and so I just like always wanted to be in comedy. It was at Second City. I didn't really love sketch and improv. It was all right, when I found stand-up comedy, it was that moment where I was like, oh, yeah, this is what I was supposed to be doing this whole time.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So I think on those car rides, I think the worst moment,
something sticking
out. No, I mean, like, I would say that one of those first shows we did in Stevens Point. Where
Stevens Point, we were at Rookies in Stevens Point, and oh my lord,
the Rookies green room. Okay, it's a motel in the back of the like behind the bar, like you walk through a parking lot, and it's very dirty and old. And your Uncle Joel was very comfortable in it, he was like sprawled out on the bed.
Yep,
yeah,
my Uncle Joel. I don't recall him wearing a shirt for that entire time.
I agree. He may not have been.
I think he was showing
his scar.
His scar or his tattoo?
I think it was his scar. He had just had some sort of surgery.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, actually, this is a great story of Uncle Joel. I had never met Uncle Joel. I just heard about him. We are unloading stuff in the Rookies parking lot. And Joel is a sort of short, stocky, very aggressive man. And he comes walking up to me with a lot of mustard, and he goes, "Where's Charlie?" And I'm like, "Oh my god, it's some fan who's like trying to kill him." Like, and I didn't say I knew where you were, but I didn't say.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh, I'm not sure." And I was like, "Can I help you?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm his Uncle Joe." I was like, "Oh, all right." It was like he terrified me. But then I got to know him, and now every so often I just send him very mean text messages. Loves it though.
Yeah, you two kind of get off on that stuff.
Yeah. Also at Rookies, I know this is actually the moment that has annoyed me the most, but honestly,
okay,
we're doing the tech rehearsal of the show with your laptop and all this stuff, and they're letting people in the show, so fans of yours are watching you rehearse and setting up before the show. Like, they didn't keep people out. And there was also a bartender there who I was very smitten by.
Andrew finds a bartender in every town.
I've never found anybody anywhere, and nothing happened. I was just smitten.
You were smitten by the fella. Now, let me say this.
Did you just out me?
What's that?
Did you just out me on the Craigslist? Did I? Yeah, you did.
What did I say?
You said fella.
Well, they know you're gay.
Do they? I haven't told my parents yet.
Yeah. We did a video called Midwest Coming Out.
That's true. And I just want anyone to know who watched that video. I was wearing a fat suit for that. I wasn't really that heavy. I was like Brendan Fraser in The Whale. I was also playing a very overweight gay man who couldn't get laid. But for that video, I did it before him.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 82. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 54. Tonight, mainly clear skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm again. Tomorrow, chance for scattered showers. Highs level off around 78. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 76.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
So I've said my favorite and least favorite memories, and I think it's only fair that we get to know what's your favorite memory on the road with me and something that you didn't enjoy as much.
Oh, God. What should I start with?
Least
here's,
favorite.
Here's my favorite memory is that Andrew, I think, was helping out with merch one show, and I was walking this, I think was a man's walk, and I was walking out to the lobby before the show. We were setting up the merch and all that. My siblings were there, my mom was there, and like my sisters are all walking in with like a box of merch, like a big tub of merch, and Andrew comes in, like, my mom's got a box, my sister's got a box, my other sister's got a box, and Andrew comes in holding one of their purses.
Really? I don't remember that.
I have this distinct visual memory. It could have just been a dream.
It could have happened. I thought you were going to say was after we had like nine shows and one night at the Mall of America in Minneapolis.
What happened there?
No, and you had so much merch, and your Uncle Joel showed up an hour late, so I'm trying to set it up all, and I had one of my spoiled brat temper tantrums, which I haven't had a few, and I was just like, you have to come out here and help me. So, because you did come out, because all of it was very disorganized and thrown together.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But, you know, the thing with working with you, and what's your least favorite?
That was both.
Okay. Boy, you got off the hook easy.
No, we got a lot of good memories. I'll think of them too as we keep going. What were you going to say?
So, no, I want to just briefly share of how this came to be the creative partnership. I was in Los Angeles and I wanted you to wear this t-shirt. I had a t-shirt company and you said, sure. And I just worked on a movie as a writer. And like a month later, this was right after your first ever Manitowoc Minute. And we were both living in LA and you came over and I was like sharing ideas. I can't even believe you came over. Like you just agreed to it. That was amazing.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know what that was about.
I really don't know either. Yeah. And, we would hang out. I would like send you ideas or voice messages about like jokes or whatever.
Yeah.
You came over one afternoon and was like, hey, I'm doing a couple shows. Like they're setting up this tour around Wisconsin. And he goes, I need someone to come on the road and produce it. And do you want to do it? And I remember in my head being like, oh, you have to tell him no. You don't know how to do that. You don't ruin this guy's career. Mm-hmm. But I was like, nope, you have to say yes and figure it out because you're not doing anything. And so somehow I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Anything, whatever you need.
I really wish I could read your thoughts.
Seriously.
I mean.
And I didn't. And we were meeting with some agents one time before the tour. And this agent was like, why is Andrew going on the road with you? And I looked at you and I was like, yeah, why am I?
What did I say?
You said because he has funny jokes and ideas. And
You do have funny jokes and ideas. Really, that's all it takes, honestly.
I guess so.
That's the most important thing, thankfully, because there wasn't a whole lot else going on.
Yeah. But I, you know, it was like, you know, starting at the bottom of like, you know, errands and selling merch and. You know, helping run things backstage or whatever need to be taken care of. Like it was really like learning how to really work hard. And I was older, but it was like a lesson on being accountable and working really hard and doing things you didn't want to do, which is stuff I hadn't really done for most of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a very interesting dynamic between us because we were both raised quite a bit different.
Yes. I'm not one of 12 or Irish Catholic.
Right.
Yeah.
You are one of
three
yeah. And you are Jewish.
You don't have to out me again. Charlie, this is going on the internet.
You outed me as being Catholic.
Yes. Jewish from suburbs of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you know.
But Jews and Catholics were very similar.
A lot of guilt.
A lot.
I think we united around the
Absolutely
guilt.
Absolutely did.
How does your guilt manifest itself today?
People pleasing.
You're a people pleaser. That is news to me. When are you going to start pleasing this person?
How many times have I said I liked your videos when I really didn't?
Oh.
No, it's that like.
That's fair. No, I like your videos and I don't even watch them sometimes.
Believe me, I know that. I think, if a video or whatever doesn't do as well, I take a lot of the blame for that or.
One of our videos?
Yeah.
You take the blame for that?
Absolutely.
How do you people please for other people? Just generally speaking, let's find the ways. You know what I do? I've got the reactionary yes.
Oh, I know.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you've taken, you know it, and you take advantage of it.
I take advantage of it less than everybody else.
I don't know. You are in the middle of the pack.
Do you know that I can name all of your siblings?
Do it.
It took me a long time, but I used to stay up at night when I couldn't sleep, and I would just try and name all of them, and I can do it now.
You know what? I believe you. Here's a bigger question, though. Here's a bigger question. When it comes to like comedy and all this sort of stuff, how are you making it as a comedian today? You know what I mean? Like
with you.
Well, No, but for people who are trying to figure out like how this whole internet thing works, like what's sort of the formula that you're going after? Because you are building your stuff, and you just had a couple really great videos that got, you know, that really popped off for
you.
You know,
million view videos. Yeah.
Yeah, not that anyone's counting the views every day, every time they open up their phone.
The phone never closes.
Yeah. But what is so like, you know, and I do say this again because there are comedians who are calling up trying to figure out the pathway. So what is the pathway you've chosen to do it, and how is that working out for you?
All right. Can I be sentimental? I tried being sentimental once with Charlie in Austin, Texas, and he said, we're Irish Catholic. We sweep it under the rug.
Yeah.
I was telling him how I cried watching a movie on my flight to Austin, Texas. And he was like, I am not ready to hear that.
I was trying to focus on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I think, I Feel Pretty with Amy Schumer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why'd you cry?
Because I think it had just a nice message of positivity and body positivity. And Rory Scovel was on.
Rory?
Yeah, yeah. He was on your podcast.
Great dude.
Good, way better than this one.
No, yeah. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say way better.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. All right. So my what I tell, because I actually do have I've had a bunch of people who are trying to get into comedy ask me what I do. And honestly, the truth is like, you're probably the best teacher that I've ever had when it comes to comedy. I know.
Wow.
Everything you've told me to do, what you've done, I have been resistant to some of it. Whenever I've done it, it has worked. Like what I have in comedy, a lot of it is because of the things that you've done are like, here's what works. And, what I tell people who are trying to get into comedy is you gotta go to mics. You can't just like sit there and do it like for your friends or in your, you know, your bedroom by yourself. You've got to like get, you've got to start with 5 good minutes. Like I'd say, don't bite off too much too soon. Like people have been doing comedy a month. They're like, yeah, I'm working on my hour. I'm like, what do you mean your hour? You probably don't have 3 minutes. And, the game has changed. And like, you know, I've said this a bunch, like the guys like you and Trevor Wallace and guys who didn't wait for the Comedy Store to make them like regular, to make them official members of that club. You guys, and I say cutting the line, there is no line anymore, but there isn't a better metaphor I have. So basically you guys cut the line. You were like, no, I'm not waiting 20 years, you know, going on at 1 a.m. the way it used to be done. What you guys did is you made your own content. You worked for your own following, and you became, what you did is like you and Trevor, you guys became undeniable. That is the word. You just, your audience and your brand of comedy, you were forced clubs to put you on. And I saw that model, and it's one of the reasons I left LA and moved back to Chicago. I was just like, I don't need to be here anymore. And it's also like, I live in a beautiful place in Chicago, and like in LA, it would have been like a shack next to the airport. And I was just like, I'm going to go make my own brand of comedy, find my own audience. And then, you know, if I'm lucky enough where I amass such a following that clubs are going to have to put me on. I mean, not have to, but like they're going to see. And the thing with your following that has really been good for you is that you were a stand-up before all this stuff was going on. So it's not like, you know, you had all these videos hit and then they were like, come do these shows. Like you were working on material where it's like, I tell people who like become TikTok famous or whatever, which is great. But it's like, if you have 2 million followers, but you have 3 or 5 minutes or 10 minutes of material and a club books you and it doesn't go well, they're not going to book you again. I mean, unless you just continue to sell so many tickets that, you know, the club is able to sell so many drinks and chicken fingers and whatnot. But the brand and the model that a bunch of you really brought into this world is the model that works now, which is make your own following, make your own path. Like, I have a lot of peace knowing that, like, it's on me to make this happen. It's not about, like, what clubs are booking me or not booking me. Like, if I continue to amass followers and people like my content, there's going to be more opportunities.
Yeah, I do think that is a nice thing about comedy. I mean, I've talked about it on here before, but, you know, before I was doing this sort of thing, I was, like, out there trying to get auditions, doing commercial auditions. I sucked at auditioning. You go in there nervous. You're not really showing your best stuff. You know, you're not really showing like what you can write at all. You're just saying lines someone else wrote. So that's, and I think, you know, both you and I are writers at kind of the heart of it all. So it's nice when we can kind of, you know, it seems like a cheat code almost to be able to write your own stuff and perform that and put that out there. And then that's kind of your best foot forward.
And look, there's nothing wrong with being like, it is an incredible accomplishment to be a paid regular at the Comedy Store.
Oh, yeah.
Or in New York at, what's it called?
Comedy Cellar.
Yeah. I hit my head earlier. I might have a concussion. I'm not.
Yeah, I heard you like bellowing about that.
Yeah, I really. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's an amazing accomplishment. But a lot of those people cannot sell tickets the way you sell tickets. So it's like, yeah, being like, you know, there are like guys at the Comedy Store who can, you know, maybe do a couple of gigs here and there at small clubs. But what you did was like you play theaters across the country or you play very big clubs and you didn't wait around for the point, I guess, long story short, is you did not wait around for other people to make it happen for you. You made it happen for yourself.
Yeah. Well, and there's been a lot of people helping along the way, you know, like you, Andrew, you helped along the way. Cutting this out of the podcast. Yeah. You could give your younger self a little piece of advice, comedy-wise, career-wise, life-wise, what would it be?
Work really, really hard and expect nothing from anybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of, there is a lot of truth. And you will get stuff from people. You will get a helping hand. Someone will
ladder. Absolutely. I mean, I had many people help me up, but it's like, you know, at the end of the day, if I'm not making these videos, if I'm not working on jokes, if I'm not going to clubs, like no one is handing this to me. This business is so cutthroat and the fail rate is like, feels like almost 95-100%. And so I would, like what I tell a lot of younger comics is just like work really, really hard. Always be writing. I write almost every day if I'm not rewriting every single day.
Yeah.
Be open to criticism.
You should do what Andrew does when he gets criticism. You should argue why the person giving you any sort of advice is wrong for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then hang up the phone.
I don't hang up on you.
Well, you never say goodbye.
You get in line. That's just me.
Yeah. I'll be like, all right, man, I'll talk to you later.
I'm going to start saying I love you.
All right. I'd rather you just say nothing.
Okay.
No, I'm teasing a little bit, but not about the I love you thing, but about the fact that like you really do take whatever it is. And it's hard because I know it's hard because every time you give me stuff that I know is true, I do the same thing to you. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. This is fine, whatever. And then 15 minutes later, I try the thing you're talking about. I'm like, damn it, he was right.
I agree. No, I think because when I have, I'd say in the last year, when I have tried the suggestion of other people and then it's gone well, like immediately, I think now I'm way more open to feedback from like other comedians. Like, and honestly, sometimes it takes like six different people. Like, you've told me this so many times. My buddy Sam Tripoli, who I do shows with sometimes, I got off stage and I was like, how do you think it went? He went, dude, you were funny. But he goes, why don't you look at the audience? And I was like, my buddy Charlie says that to me all the time. And he goes, next time, because we had two shows that night. He goes, on the later show, he goes, you got to look at the audience. He's like, you have to do that. I'm like, okay. And I started looking at the audience and it was like such a huge difference. So that like was an immediate thing. And it was just from a place of like a little more insecurity of like really like owning the jokes, like if they didn't work, like. And so I just now like really, he also says like, I was a little bit too rehearsed, which is something you also said. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why do you sound like a gay robot when you're on stage? And I was just like, what do you mean? He's like, it sounds like you've memorized these jokes. I'm like, I have. He's like, you got to have a conversation with the audience. And so that was a bit ago. And I was like, all right. And I just like, you know, but I am the guy who like has to be told, or in the past had been told like 100 times before I finally was able to really take it and then put that into some kind of action.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we all have that too, where we, I don't know what it is about thinking like you know, now I don't know what that is. We're hesitant and resistant to listen to feedback. And honestly, you know, it's like you will be taken care of in this world if you just like relax, you know, and just open yourself up to like sort of what the world presents to you.
Yeah.
You know, the universe.
That's right.
Yeah.
I thought of my favorite memory.
Okay. Yeah. Let's hear it.
It was like a year ago, maybe.
Okay.
We were doing two shows in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Uh-huh.
And the second show, but you have a lot of kids who come to your shows.
I do.
Which I, for one, have always said that's the one thing missing from the art form of comedy is having having more children in the audience.
Yeah.
But no, it's because you have, you know, your big YouTube following and Instagram and TikTok. And there are a lot of kids. And, you know, as a gay comedian, I do jokes about my life trying to understand gay culture, which I'm not like. I have like this one joke I do about how I'm like a training wheels gay for homophobes. Mm-hmm. Like I love sports. I'm politically moderate. I support our troops. Like maybe the drag queen is a little bit too hard of a first reach, but like, I'm like you could get to know me and then you could get to know the drag queen. Like I'm like, I'm that like gateway into homosexuality. I'm not trying to recruit your kids. It's not pride season. But yeah. Something, I'll tell you another thing you taught me. It was never my dream to be a clean comic. I kind of despised clean comedy. Thought it was really, really hacky. I went on the road with you. I saw how quickly you amassed such a following and how whenever I'd watch your shows, I was like, he didn't really need to swear or do anything super political or sexually graphic. And I started going to these mics where like all these like straight white guys trying to be Anthony Jeselnik would just say the most disgusting things for shock value. I was like, this is awful. And so I was like, you know what? Maybe like, I'm just so rebellious with everything. I was like, I'm going to do the complete opposite of that. And there aren't a lot of very clean gay comics. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go that route. I started way later on in life. Like this is a faster way to get on TV, to get more people to see you. And I genuinely love that. Like I don't use any of those tropes. But we're doing the show in Cedar Rapids. There are a bunch of kids there. And I remember being like, I can't do gay material. There are a bunch of kids there. And you were just like, do it. You have to do it. Like, and you know, the thing is like, you always have every right to be like, hey man, like these are my shows. Like my audience might not be cool with this. You've always been like, do your thing. Like I don't censor yourself. Like always go and do your jokes. Who cares what the audience says? And so I was like, all right, okay, I guess. And I went up on stage and, it was like such an explosion of like laughter and it was so great. And after the show, there were these two trans kids in the audience who were like so excited that a gay person was like on stage and won, like, and they were like, it was like they were, their dad had said like, you know, it's like the first time they'd see them smile in like months. And it was I don't know. It was very, very surprising. And it, you know, totally on my part, like having contempt prior to investigation that they wouldn't like me. And there have been a couple times at shows where like people weren't as nice or said things, but like, honestly,
first of all, I do remember that show. Yeah. And yeah, cause you know, you were like, oh, there are kids in the audience and da, da, da.
But I also don't say any, I don't say anything sexually. I just was like, I don't know.
It's all clean stuff, but yeah. It's just about your reality being, you know, a gay person in this yeah. world. And there's a good chance.
And not apologizing for it. Like, right. And like, we definitely like a few times you've gotten emails about me, are just like one woman in Boston wanted me fired off the show. Cause I made one tiny joke, like making fun of Republicans or something. And I'm pretty politically moderate. Like both sides get me really good. It was just, I don't know, but she wanted me fired. And I love that she's like, I'm not a homophobe because my daughter is with a woman. She couldn't use the word lesbian. She said, my daughter is with a woman. She couldn't go that far, but mm-hmm. yeah, she wanted me fired from that. I have to say, like, I've just like had countless times where after a show, people will be like, you know, like, you know, I'm a very conservative or I'm a Republican, but I think you're so funny and I had such a good time. And like, that's like, I want conservatives at my show. I want liberals. I want people who are gay, people who are straight, all different colors. Like, and I know that's such a cliche to say, but like some of the greatest shows we've ever had are in like more conservative areas that are like, they show like purple, like a red state with like a sort of a bluish city, like in Fargo, or we've been in Iowa or different places in Wisconsin. Like, we were just doing a show with your brother in Oconomowoc a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And like, they were just down to clown and have a good time and have fun. And like, cause like, again, like, my thing is like, when someone's coming to a comic, like, there are comics who love to walk people, which means they get people to leave their show because they're offended. I just really don't want to do that. Maybe I'm a hack. I don't know. I mean, like, don't take enough chances. But like, when, especially these aren't my shows. Like, I am always a guest on your shows, and I fully understand that. But like, even if I'm doing my own shows, like, people who are coming to a show, you know, they're paying for tickets, they're paying for parking, they're paying for drinks. They may have gone out to dinner, they may have hired a babysitter, all these things. So it's like, why do I need to say something that if I don't think is that funny or I've worked like really hard on, why do I need to say something that's just going to annoy them and ruin their night when it's just not necessary or funny? Because that really like edgy stuff that honestly most of the time is just really stupid and just like bottom feeder material. I don't know. It's just like, I've really moved away from that stuff. I think it's really, I'm not offended by it. I just think as a comedian, I just think it's really cheap.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can pretty much say anything on stage if your perspective backs it up and if it's funnier than it is offensive or funnier than it is insulting or funnier than it is. It's got to be funnier than that. Otherwise, it becomes, you know, you're doing that for the point of that. And frankly, sometimes it's tough to find that. Sometimes you have to do the joke where it is worse than, you know, one of those things more than it is funny until you find the funny in it. So, I mean, you know, I don't blame anyone for doing any jokes necessarily. You got to find your own way in this thing. But yeah, I've certainly veered it more toward just because my audience more toward the clean side of the world. All right. There you have it, folks. ASAP underscore Rafi. Everybody keep her moving. Follow the Cripescast at Cripescast and make sure you watch for deer. Bye-bye.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Let 211 be your guiding light for help with food,
healthcare, and other resources.
211, how can I help you?
Call 211 or visit 211.org. 211, get connected, get help.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and